for those days today. In our midst, ladies and gentlemen, friends and neighbors, boys and girls, someone is having a birthday. It's not just a normal birthday, it's 1 year closer to that wonderful sweet 16. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to join me as we sing happy birthday to this wonderful young lady right here, right here. Come on, stand up. Come on, stand up. Give her a hand, folks, right here. And as we sing, follow me, it goes, happy birthday to you. No, follow me. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. What's her name? Katie. You. Big finish. Happy birthday. Hey! To... Ready? You and many more. There you go. Yeah, give her a hand. Good job. Good job. You know, last night was a wonderful, wonderful time together of fellowship. God's working, but we preached on a message, and it was the sin that just won't go away, that stinking, rotten pride. Let me show you how you look when you're full of you instead of Jesus. Take your hand like this. Take your hand. Everybody, don't let your pride keep you from doing this. Go, I'm so great. Mm-hmm. Can you do that? I'm so great. Mm-hmm. Then I'm so special. Take your hand out like this. Bring your elbow into rib cage. Go, ooh. Yeah. He goes, I'm so special. Let me say it. I'm so great. Mm-hmm. I'm so special. Ooh. That's what you do. Yeah. Go like that. Go, ooh. Can you do that? A little higher shoulders. Ooh. Come on, brother. Get over. Humble as I can be. Hands over your heart like this. Humble as I can be. I'm so great. Mm-hmm. I'm so special. Ooh. And I know you want to be just like me. Turn to the person next to you, wink and go. There you go. There you go. Let's try from the start. I'm so great. I'm so special. Ooh. Humble as I can be. Give me more. Give me more. I'm so great. I'm so special. Ooh. And I know you want to be just like me. Here are the verses. Oh, the pain to be so perfect. I'd be average if I only could. You feel my pain. Ready? I'm so great. Come on. I'm so special. Humble as I can be. Throw it up on me. Come on. Here we go. I'm so great. I'm so special. And I know you want to be just like me. This is for the teachers. You know, they're just, again, they're outstanding people. I try so hard to dummy down, but it's so hard when you're so profound. Isn't it right, DJ? I'm so great. I'm so special. Ooh. Humble as I. Give me that humble look, yeah. Oh, I'm so great. I'm so special. Ooh. And I know you want to be just like me. If we're the guys, okay? Oh, the curse to be good looking. But it's the burden I'm here to bear. You know what I'm saying, don't you? Huh? Yeah. Ready? I'm so great. I'm so special. Humble as I can be. Come on, give me more. Come on, ready? I'm so great. I'm so special. Ooh. And I know you want to be just like me. Okay. Last one for the girls. Admit you're wrong. It's such a fight, but not for me, because I'm always right. All right, girls, there we go. Ready? I'm so great. I'm so special. Humble at last time. Give me it all. Give me it all. I'm so great. I'm so special. And I know you want to be just like me. Here, both hands. I know you want to be just like me. Give yourself a hand. Good job. Now, you know, I enjoy torturing children and teenagers, anybody I can, and I think this will really, really be an educational time for those folks from Korea, okay? This will be a good one, okay? You take it, we're going to do a song called An Austrian Went Yodeling on a Mountaintop High, and some of these junior hires don't even know this, so it'll test their coordination. Put your hands out like this, and go down, slap your lap, clap your hands, snap your fingers. Good, huh? Easy. Lap, clap, snap. 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 Okay, okay. It's a song about a guy from Austria. It's not an ostrich went yodeling for you blonde girls. It's an Austrian went... I do have girls. Brother Maynard, let's sing the ostrich song. Okay. It's about this guy from Austria that goes up on the mountaintop to do his yodelady who, or from the city, it's who to lady be, you know, yodeling thing and all that. And as he's up there yodeling and stuff, all these things come and interrupt him. And the first thing's an avalanche. We're going this direction. Put your hand up like this, and we're going this direction. It's a Nike sounding avalanche. It goes, the other hand. Yeah. Good. Okay. It's a language barrier. Okay. We're going this direction, and again, it goes like this. Swoosh! Big. Let's hear it together.
Swoosh.
Louder.
Swoosh.
Bigger.
Swoosh.
We got it. Follow the bald guy. Here we go. Well, and Austrian went yodeling on a mountain top high. When along came an avalanche interrupting his cry. Change. O'Leary. Get ready. O'Leary, Larry. O'Leary, lie. Louder. O'Leary, Larry. O'Leary, lie. O'Leary, Larry. O'Leary, lie. O'Leary, Larry, lie. Now, next thing comes along. You ready? It's a grizzly bear. Put your claws up like this and go, grr! It's a big bear!
Yeah.
Well, it's not this way, okay? It looks girly. It's not like this. We're not there, okay? Well, and Austin went yodeling on a mountaintop high. When along came a grizzly bear interrupting his cry. O'Leary, O'Leary, Larry, O'Leary, swoosh! O'Leary, Larry, O'Leary, swoosh! O'Leary, Larry, O'Leary, swoosh! O'Leary, Larry, lie. Next thing comes along is a Jersey cow. For you city kids, you know milk does not just come from a little plastic container. It comes from this little milk dispenser called an udder underneath a cow. So I want you to grab part of the udder like this, okay? Grab the udder part of the udder like this. It's a big cow, and go shh, shh, together. Well, you think I look funny? You ought to be seeing what I'm looking at. Well, and Austin went yodeling on a mountaintop high. When along came a Jersey cow interrupting his cry. Chase! O'Leary, O'Leary, Larry, O'Leary, Susker. O'Leary, Larry, O'Leary, Swoosh. O'Leary, Larry, O'Leary, Swoosh. Girl. Oh, I forgot. I forgot one. That's why I was messed up. Oh, yeah, great. I forgot about the St. Bernard. See, the St. Bernard, you know, carries Dr. Pepper, rescues people, okay? For the St. Bernard, you put your hands up like this. This is after the bear. And he could come out, okay, and get outside it, and go, together. It's kind of like throwing up your breakfast. So it's swoosh, grr. Oh, I hate getting old. Well, and we'll go to St. Bernard, and then we'll go to Cal. Well, and Austin went yodeling on a mountaintop high. When along came a St. Bernard interrupting his cry. O'Leary, O'Leary, Larry, O'Leary, Larry, Susker. O'Leary, Larry, O'Leary, Larry, Susker. O'Leary, Larry, O'Leary, Larry, Susker. O'Leary, Larry, Light. Now the Jersey cow. Okay, still a little cow. Okay. Well, and Austin went yodeling on a mountaintop high. When along came a Jersey cow interrupting his cry. O'Leary, O'Leary, Larry, O'Leary, Larry, Susker. O'Leary, Larry, O'Leary, Larry, Swoosh. O'Leary, Larry, lie. Next thing comes along is a pretty girl. And don't we have many here at Dublin Christian Academy? Maybe not. Okay, all right. It's just a response. I'm just trying to read the crowd, all right? For a pretty girl, I am a professional. I'm legal, okay? It's a great activity to be part of, but it's supposed to be saved for marriage, okay? It's called... Okay, can y'all do that, please? Don't look at me that way. I tell you, he winked. He winked. Stop it! All right. Together, loud and clear, please. Get the lips about out to here. Ready? A little louder. Make it sound real stupid. Okay. Well, and remember, we're not this kind of school. Keep them down low. Well, and Austin went yodeling on a mountaintop high when along came a pretty girl interrupting his cry. O'Leary. Does that sound like, we welcome you, the lollipop kids, the lollipop. I think that every time I say, O'Leary. O'Leary, Larry. O'Leary, I sister. Oh, I almost did the last one. O'Leary, Larry. O'Leary, I swooshka. Oh, Larry, Larry, lie. Last one, the girl's papa gets your gun up in the air like this. You go kissing on my girl, and one thing's going to happen. We're close enough to Boston. Hold your gun like this. Go, bang, bang! Ma'am, are you confused? I know you're blonde. And are you confused? Let's go a little slower for her, okay? Hold your gun up like this. No more down. You got to get more of the gangsta thing. You know, go, bang, bang! You got it. Okay. Well, Austin went yodeling on a mountaintop high when along came the girl's papa interrupting his cry. O'Leary, O'Leary, Larry, O'Leary, Susker. Bang, bang, you shot the girl. O'Leary, Larry, O'Leary, Susker. Bang, bang. Oh. Are you having trouble? We're going too fast. Slow motion for the blonde girl, okay? Here we go, ready? Ooh. Is this too fast? Okay. Big udder! With feeling now. One more. Oh, Larry, Larry, lie. Give yourself a hand. Good job. Good job. I didn't torture you with this every day, but we're going to sing it this morning. I must be pressing on. Get your thumbs up. I'm going back, back, back. When I should be pressing on, I'm going when I should be growing strong, pressing on for Jesus, growing stronger in the Lord. Not back, back, back. I must be pressing on and on and on and on and on. When I should be doing right, I end up doing wrong. Instead of going forward, I'm where I don't belong. I need to be faithful, go forward for the Lord. Not back, back, back. I must be pressing on. Help me, I'm out of breath. I'm going. I'm going. Pressing on for Jesus, growing stronger in the Lord. Not back, back, back. I must be pressing.
To know is not the problem, but living what I know. Learning from the Bible, then share what I should show.
I need to be faithful, go forward for the Lord. Not back, back, back. I must be pressing on last time. I'm going back, back, back. When I should be pressing on, I'm going when I should be growing strong, pressing on for Jesus, growing stronger in the Lord. Not back, back, back. I must be pressing all together. I must be pressing. Good job, girls. Give yourself a hand. Good job. Wonderful. Outstanding. Marvelous in my sight. Turn to the book of Revelation this morning, would you please? I'm going to help you find the passage. Go to the book of Revelation, last book of the Bible, and then go back one book and you'll find the book of Jude. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't I a nice evangelist? Now this chapter, this book's easy to preach from because there's only one chapter, but there are many wonderful truths to help us to keep on keeping on, pressing toward the mark and even accomplish what God has for us. And listen to me carefully, keep the commitments you've even made this week. You know, I know a lot of life-impacting, changing decisions have been made. And don't be embarrassed to give a testimony. Don't hang out all your dirty laundry. You don't have to tell all that, you know, you've messed up. And just praise God. You know, when we do testimonies, we used to do them up at Northland all the time. We had a CBS rule. You know, current, brief, and specific. you know, current. What did God do in your heart this week? What has God done for you, in you, and looking to do through you? Then brief. It's not time to... Well, I have a dog, and this dog, when I was 2 years old, it got hit by a semi. It was so cool. You know, we don't want to know that, all right? That may have affected your life. We're not here to do the psychological analysis of your childhood. It's just something that God's done in your heart. Very brief. God saved my soul. I'm going to heaven. I got saved. And that's very specific, current, brief, and specific. So kind of think that through, but don't miss out on the testimony here as we have the time tonight. But here in this passage are some just wonderful truths, again, that will help you keep on keeping on and be faithful. But let's have a word of prayer. I'm going out on a limb here. I'm going to have a sophomore pray. I know that's a dangerous place to go, but we'll let the Australian version stand up here, and we'll let him go ahead. He talks funny, but I think he'll handle the prayer well, okay? So let's bow our heads and hearts and ask God's help. Now, again, some of you are still in brain-dead mode. You're not alert to God's working. I can tell by looking at your eyeballs, you want to be any place but here. You want to be watching Scooby-Doo, not hearing the preaching of Brother Maynor here. But, you know, ask God to get you past your flesh. And again, this message is just as important as all the rest of them. And again, take it very personally. Go ahead and pray first, brother. Amen. Some of you might not know what an evangelist does besides play golf and go to Walmart, but I travel around the world and I just go where people, you know, call me to go and God directs me and all that. But most of the time I'm doing church meetings, you know, revival meetings, week-long things, Sunday through Friday. And I'm just spoiled. Unbelievably. I'm with the best people in the world. I get to watch God work on almost a daily basis as far as people getting saved and lives changed. Well, one particular winter, I think it was in February or March, we were down in Atlanta, Georgia. And I had a week in between a time being at a place, Berean Baptist Church and Danny Sweat's church in Atlanta, Georgia. And I didn't want to go there necessarily that Sunday before the revival. I wanted to go down and hear this guy south of Atlanta. Never heard him preach, been faithful for years. So my wife and kids, they stayed up and went to the church there. Well, I drove about 45 minutes or whatever. And I get down there, and I was so bummed out. You evangelist, I get bummed out. I get an attitude many times myself because the guy I came to hear preach was smarter than me. He was in Florida, okay? That's where evangelists are supposed to be in February and March. So I ended up, with an attitude sitting there going, well, I wonder who's going to preach today. And it was an evangelist. I mean, those obnoxious, pushy people. You know who I'm talking about? They always think they can straighten you out, fix what's broken, and they think they're so funny. Well, anyway, it was this guy by the name of Ron Riley. Now, you guys don't have a clue who that is, but the older, mature people in the back have heard that name for a lot of years. Ron Riley, God's used him in a great way. He was in evangelism for many years, but he was also a youth pastor in Jacksonville, Florida. Now, listen, in Florida, folks, during college break time, it is full of kids looking to feed their flesh and ruin their lives. I mean, it really is. And Brother Ron became so burdened for these thousands of college kids that would come down to Florida that he assembled a team of teenagers to go minister and witness these kids and hopefully give them the answer they're looking for and the answer they need. And these kids, now listen, these kids weren't anywhere close to, you know, bikinis for Jesus is my battle cry. You know, they dressed in conservative clothes and they went out there again modestly representing the Lord and they won hundreds of people to Christ. Well, what happened, he preached from this passage of Scripture, and he only used one word, one verse. Look down with me at verse 22. Here's the verse that he used. And you know what? I'm a busy guy. I would say, and not being filled with pride, and I'm so great, type of thing, but I'm busy all the time, and I want, from the top of my bald head to my bottom of my feet, I want to serve and honor God. But you know what? God still has... a lot of improvement he wants to do in me and a lot more he wants to do through me. Even though I'm busy, I need to be again faithful to the master's business, whatever that may be. Well, here's the verse he used. And again, I've heard a zillion messages on this, but boy, God brought me down to my knees. In verse 22, it says, and some have compassion, making a difference. Now, the question we got to ask, look up here for a minute. The question we've got to ask is, what kind of difference are we here to make? Does anybody know a guy by the name of Tiger Woods? Does anybody know Tiger Woods? Yeah. Has he made a difference as far as sports and, you know, kind of like Michael Jordan? Michael Jordan kind of set the bar as such and the pace as far as NBA basketball players and stuff are concerned. But Tiger Woods has made a difference in this world, a difference in golf itself. But that's not the kind of difference we're here to make. Does anybody know the guy, the name Bill Gates? Yeah, everybody does. Why? Because Bill Gates has changed our lives. He's impacted us in an unbelievable way. He's the guy that's ahead of what? Microsoft? The guy's a brainiac. The guy's an unbelievable marketing genius. And you know what? He's made a difference. But that's not the kind of difference we're here to make. Listen carefully, because you've got cobwebs in your brain. You're not thinking of that which lasts for all eternity. That is truly worthwhile to be a part of. And that's the will and working of God. The difference God wants us to make is a difference to impact hearts for all eternity. And again, glorify and honor the name of Jesus. Now, Brother Riley only gave one verse here. I'm going to give you several to set it up. I want you to go with me to Jude. Again, only one chapter. You can't get overly confused. But go down to verse 20 where it says this. But ye beloved. That's talking to believers, okay? If you're not saved, this doesn't apply to you. It says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. What does that mean? Read your Bible. Remember last night, the most telling sign you're full of you instead of Jesus, you'll throw your Bible aside. You will not be faithful to the Word of God. Give me, now you have to think this through, give me four areas of faithfulness to the Word of God. What are some things we can do so we can build ourselves up in the most holy faith? What's the start of the day filled with? What should you do? Have, what's the word? Devotions. What, is this hard or something? Is this something that's so out of the reach and touch of a normal human being? It must be, because most of you don't do it. Most Christians don't even do devotions. What are devotions? Devotions is simply a time every day you redevote yourself to God. You don't get saved. Don't make this difficult. You're not becoming a theological scholar in the midst of your devotional activity. It's just a time daily you acknowledge His presence. You seek His will. And you look to be faithful to what God would have done. That's what devotions are really for and what they're all about. Now, 5 minutes? Well, that's wonderful. But 15 would be better, wouldn't it? Where you again just say, hey, God, I want to refocus for this day. I want to be faithful to your will. And God, don't let me be a lazy, good-for-nothing, worthless Christian. I want to redevote myself. Devotions. Another area. What other area are we to be faithful to? How about Bible reading? You know, well, you shut the TV off. Put your
control down. Step away from your Xbox. Read your Bible. Right? You know, it's hard. I can't! It is melted into my fingers!
You know, and that's the way it is for some of you. You'll leave here, and you'll just, I mean, you'll consume yourself with Nintendo, some kind of a game activity, and you'll be there till your brain drops out of your head. Which would be cool to see. But you know what? You need to shut that stuff off and avail yourself and just read.
What are we studying, Brother Maynard? What's the assignment?
You're just letting God talk to you. Just read your Bible. I started Genesis, started Matthew. I don't care, but start. And just read the Word of God and let God speak to your mind and heart. And that's the way He does it. So you got devotions, you got Bible reading, and then the one we dread, folks, studying the Bible. That's for old people. See, I'm going to do that when I get in college. When I'm studying my... No, you don't start then. You may never get to college. You may not ever have that. So right now, study to show yourself approved. Know what the Bible says and prove that which is acceptable unto God. That's your responsibility, but it's also a privilege. There's one more area. What will help you stay victorious over sin? You got devotions, Bible reading, Bible study. What's the fourth thing? Bible memorization. Bible memorization. Remember the verse I quoted last night. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. You are having trouble with sinful fleshly want to. Well, the victory is found from the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. That's not, again, something you just memorize for competition and some bucks for Stagopoly. This is a very important instruction from on high to help you make a difference the way God wants you to make a difference. So again, the first thing here, read your Bible. Let's say it together. Read your Bible. Building yourself up in your most holy faith. That faith that comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Then the next thing says praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh, I saw this on television. Those people had their hands in the air and they went, "Ow! I'm praying in the Holy Ghost." Hallelujah. Huh? Is that it, boys and girls, friends and neighbors? No. It's simply, again, yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit's illuminating work. Seeking the Holy Spirit's guidance to guide you into all truth so you can rightly worship and serve Jesus Christ. It makes me so irritated and nauseated that so many people are making Jesus spooky. And making it so, you know, you pray in the Holy Spirit. No, just seek God and do it through the Holy Spirit who seeks again to wake up your brain, give you understanding, and make sense of all this. And again, you have not because you don't ask. Let the Holy Spirit of God, He's here to comfort you, yes, but He's also here to guide you into all truth. You know, it's amazing over the years, and I was reading this in a book yesterday. You're an evangelist? You're reading a book? Yeah, isn't that scary? And I was reading this book, and it talked about how we kind of shy away from teaching on the Holy Spirit because the charismatics have messed it up so much and so abundantly. Listen, folks, the Holy Spirit's an important part of who and what we are. Again, the Holy Spirit is there to help us understand and do what's right. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Let God guide, govern, and awaken your brain through the Holy Spirit's illuminating work. Then look down at verse 21. It says, keeping yourselves in the love of God. Now see, some of you went brain dead when I said love. And the only thing you think of is this. Stay away from me, okay? Quit winking. He's still winking at me. He has not stopped since we did that song. But you know what? Listen, love here is that God-like love. Now you talk to me. How does God, this is the way we're supposed to be. You hear me? These are the qualities, the characteristics we're supposed to adapt and apply and set forth through our lives. A God-like love. Give me some words that describe that. Give me some words. Talk to me. Yes, sir. Compassionate. Okay. Talk to me. Yes, ma'am. Unconditional. Somebody else? Yes, sir. Merciful. Somebody else? Yes. Sacrificial. Those are all just hitting the nail on the head. Unconditional, sacrificial, merciful, compassionate love. Loving people, period. Not because they wear a certain this or that or because they're that personality or they drive that car, have that pick-em-up truck or whatever. You know what? It's because you love them, period. That's the way God loves us. An unconditional, sacrificial, continual, compassionate, merciful love. That's not something you're just supposed to be aware of concerning God. You cry out to God to let that be who and what you are. And how much more would this school do for the cause of Christ if you jumped on board in that way? If you started loving people in a God-like way, I'm telling you what, folks, this would be a powerful, mature, God-honoring place that trains young people to make a difference God's way. So the first thing, look at it again. Let me review. First of all, read your Bible. Say it with me. Read your Bible. Then pray in the Holy Spirit. Let's say it. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Not unga bunga poo spooky stuff. No, again, just availing your mind and heart to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Then it says, keeping yourselves in the love of God. Say the love of God. The love of God. And look at the last one here. It says in the last part of the verse, and looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I want you to turn to the little book of Titus, would you please? I'm going to confuse you a little here maybe, but just stay with me. Titus is in the midst of those T books. For you new Christians, you know the T books. This is how I was taught when I was a new Christian. It goes from the big T books to the little T book. So it's 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, then this wonderful little book called Titus. Go down with me if you would. There's a command here. This is not optional either. This is an expectation that God has for you. Look what it says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, looking for that blessed hope. Some of you are still turning pages. That's okay. Keep looking. But we're liable to be done by the time you find Titus. You know, there's this wonderful little thing called the table of contents in your Bible. It has the page number. Say, no way. Yeah. Okay, look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What does that mean? You're going, oh, he's not here yet. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. You know when most of you look? It's at the end of the school year when all your projects are due. You know, your big exams are coming. You're going to be in seventh grade again for the fourth time. If you don't, you know, and about, you know, let's say it's all due like on Friday. This is Thursday night. You're going, come on, Jesus. Rapture. Come on, take me up. I'm ready to go. You know, sound that trumpet. Did I hear a trumpet? Hey, you know, and you're going to do that kind of, you know what I'm saying? You know, maybe a good time to look too, but you know, you should be looking all the time. Good times, bad times. Have that. This for me personally, okay, is an accountability thing. If I know that I'm going to get confronted and give account like today, I'm going to get things right today. Are y'all with me on that? If you know, remember when mom and dad would leave, they'd leave you at home. If our parents torturous, give me an amen. I'm going to tell you how you'll agree with me here. You know, mom and dad decide to leave you children at home, which is kind of a unwise thing, but they leave you home by yourself and your 14 children, brothers and sisters. And what do your mom and dad always tell you before they leave the house?
Now listen, we're going out to eat and we're going to be back at 7:30 and you better have what? This house cleaned up.
It's a torturous thing from parents. I'm telling you right now, my parents did it to me. I did it to my kids. You do it to yours too, okay? So what happened was they go out to eat and you got to clean the house up. When does the average teenager start cleaning the house? Mom and dad are coming home at 7:30. When? 7:27, 7:28. But what happens about 20 after mom and dad come home early? What happens? Dun-leon, under the carpet, in the closet, throw it under the bed, and you go 9,000 miles. You're going to be killed by your parents. So, you know, don't do that to God. That's called procrastination, putting it off. No, take care of today's business today and understand any moment. Listen carefully. This should scare you, but it should also bless your heart. Any moment you can meet Jesus face to face. It's not, again, just something to scare you into making the decision. No, you get right today because you could give an account today. My accountability is established and really stirred up from this passage of Scripture. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Guys, I do this all. Go back to Jude real quick and we'll finish out. You know, I do these things all the time, as you know. I've mentioned that several times. But I know this is a fact as a result of that. Some of you are still as backslidden as a barnyard door. Some of you are still lost as lost can be, and you think you've got all the time in the world. Some of you are big time, capital P, procrastinators. Put it off. I'll do that later. I want to have my fun. Don't boast thyself tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You cannot. God only knows what's going to happen in 15. You may be out here in one of these games and dread to be the thought. You get thumped in the side of the head by somebody and boom, you're done. That's happened, folks. I've been at camps. I've been at different organizations where people have died in the midst of what's going on. You know what? You don't know when your appointment is, but it's appointed unto men once to die. And after that, there will be, I guarantee you, judgment. I don't want to stand before Jesus and hear him say one of two things. Depart from me, I never knew you. Well, I went to Dublin. Yeah, but you never trusted me as your Savior. You're on your way to hell for all eternity. Or I don't want to hear this. Mike, you blew it. Mike, you were so unfaithful. I told you exactly what I expected, what I wanted, what I needed, and you followed the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I don't know about you. I don't want to hear that from Jesus. I don't want to hear this. Good job. Well done, thou good and faithful servant of God. If you're still listening to the junk, you're still partying and hardy with all the junk of the world as far as people are concerned, if you're again continually going back when you should be pressing on, guess what? God's not going to look favorable to you now or when you meet him face to face. You will give an account. That's what it's dealing with here in this last verse. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So what kind of decisions, Brother Maynard, need to be made even here today? Well, if you're not doing your devotions, you're not doing Bible reading, you're not studying the Word of God, there are people here, I know the people here, they would be thrilled to death for you to come to them and say, teach me how to learn more of the Word of God. They would just, after they get up off the floor from fainting, okay, then they would get some commentaries, some helpful books, this, that, and the other, to help you grow up now in Christ, and again, be that person to make the difference God wants you to make. And then, understanding again, that you're here to let the Holy Spirit wake your brain up. Ask God to help you. Again, wisdom comes in abundance, if you'll just ask God. He wants to pour that into your brain and heart, and then make sure you keep the right attitude and perspective and right presentation. Be filled with the love of God. That unconditional, sacrificial, period, I love. I love God's way. And then be ready to give an account. Here it is, any moment you could meet Jesus Christ face to face. That's not a scare tactic. That's a reality of God's truth. And a warning to your life personally. Ron Riley, when he took these teenagers down to these Daytona Beach, New Smyrna and stuff to witness, sit up straight, I'm almost done. Don't snooze and lose on me here. When Ron Riley took these kids down, I mean hundreds and hundreds of kids accepted Christ as Savior. Changed for all eternity. But the folks that got changed probably even more as such would be this team of teenagers who volunteered. There was one girl, a real shy, backward girl that you wouldn't think would do something like this, but she knew it was a privilege, and she knew God wanted her to be a part of this, and she volunteered. Now, are you listening? Okay, I thought you were sleeping for a minute. You scared me. I thought, this girl's near perfect, and she's sleeping. Oh, I just want to hit her with a hymnal. But I'm glad I didn't, because she was just looking down at her kneecaps and going, hi, I have jeans on today. I feel so sinful. Okay, so what happened? I don't know what was done, but I'm just kind of guessing that went on in her mind. But what happened? This one shy girl, listen to this, this is amazing. This one shy, backward, hardly say boo girl, that day alone, he said, led like 4 or 5 people to Christ. Well, she's heading back to the van. They were supposed to get back, and she was heading that direction. And God puts in her path this gal, probably in her 70s or so, who was going down. Which she found out, going down to the beach to kill herself. She just came from the doctor, found out she was filled up head to toe with cancer, no hope, no help. So she's heading to the beach to kill herself. Well, God providentially, in His love, care, and mercy, puts this sold out teenager in her path. And long story short, the gal gets hope and help. This teenager leads her to Christ. She doesn't go down to kill herself. She goes back home to tell people of her new life in Christ and the hope and help she has, even with cancer, through the power and working of Jesus Christ. That's the kind of difference. That's the kind of impact God wants you to make as you are saved, you're sold out, you're surrendered, you're seeking to do God's will, and you're looking to make a difference. What kind of difference? A difference that impacts hearts for all eternity, that brings glory and honor to the name of Jesus. Hey, you can make a difference. Would you bow your heads and hearts, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Who would have ever thought Mike Maynard could do what he's doing? But you know what? God can even use Mike Maynard. And guess what? God can even use you. If you would be faithful to what God calls you to be faithful to. Now, I've given you a boatload of things again to commit to or recommit to. This invitation is important for you because the decisions you made will go on in consistency and fruitfulness as a result of these things that prepare you and equip you to make a difference. If you don't set goals, guess what? You're not going to reach any. If you don't have any plan or program, you're not going to have a procedure of faithfulness. You've heard all that. Well, make a heart commitment and say, that's what I will do, and I will seek to make a difference God's way. Heavenly Father, help us now as we have this invitation. Again, God, as we have the altar open and counseling available, help these wonderful young people to respond tenderly again to your leading. Lord, it's been sweet. It's been very fruitful. But God, I know you're looking to do some more remodeling. I know, God, you're looking to tighten a few things up and help the dedication to be even deeper and more committed and concentrated and consecrated unto you. And I pray, God, you will help them again realize they've not arrived yet. There's still more to learn. There's still more to do. And so many lives to be impacted, even in the school setting, even with the people that are here. We don't have to start this when we go out there to the highways and byways. We got a mission field right in the midst of Dublin Christian Academy. And God, help us to commit to make a difference your way. Now, God, if there's one here still that needs to be saved, God, convict them. Help them to understand they will give an account. They will go to hell. They will miss eternity in that perfect place called heaven. God, make them understand. Help them to know your truth. And God, help them to turn from their sin and by faith receive Christ. Help us now, Lord, again to be tender and open to your leading in this invitation opportunity. With heads bowed and eyes closed, stand to your feet. Heads